Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Hi, mi gente, estamos aquí with Irene Fernando's Hype Concert. Irene Fernando's running for Hennepin County Commissioner in District 2. We're so excited to be at her concierto.
Yay! We love you, Irene.
Yes, Irene.
Have the amazing opportunity to interview incredible women of color who are stepping up and running for office. And so right now we have the incredible Erin Mae Quaid, who's running for Lieutenant Governor along with Erin Murphy, joining us today.
Yay, I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much, Erin, for being with us. All right, so first question, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am State Representative Erin Mae Quaid. I represent the community I was born and raised in. I was born and raised in Apple Valley. I ran for office because of the issue of childhood hunger. Hungry kids were showing up at my schools and my community. Hungry kids can't learn, and we know that.
Yes.
And so I wanted to run for office. I challenged an 8-year Tea Party conservative, and people were like, okay, queer woman of color in the suburbs, you're young, like, be moderate. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And I didn't, and I was an organizer. When I graduated from the University of St. Thomas, I worked for President Obama. I worked for Governor Dayton in 2010. I worked for Congressman Keith Ellison in 2014. And so I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to organize instead, and we'll see what happens. And in 2016, I was the only person who flipped a seat from Republican to Democrat in the state house, which is super exciting.
That's a big deal for our listeners. And you all don't even know how many people were just so happy that Erin won on that night, because it was a hard night
of
results.
But a lot of work. There was not just me. There were so many partners who came down to do that work. And I serve in the legislature now. I am the founder and chair of the Childhood Hunger Caucus. I sit on the Education Committee, the Veterans Committee, and the Job Growth and Energy Affordability Policy and Finance Committee, which is a long way to say a big committee that they combine into one. So it's housing, jobs, energy, and a little bit of commerce.
So for just a quick follow-up, for our listeners who don't understand what committees do, can you just explain in a simplest way what that means?
Absolutely. So the way I always explain committees is I take one issue. So if you had a bill that was for all-day school or all year-round school, bills go to a committee of jurisdiction, and then the chair of a committee decides if they hear that bill or not, and then the people on that committee hear the bill, they talk about it, they ask questions, they debate it, and they vote on it, and it has to pass out of committee to go to the floor for a vote. And so committees deal with issues that are, with bills that are in that issue area. So if it's a veterans bill, it will come to the veterans committee. If it's a bill about energy, it'll come to the energy committee. If it's a bill about education, it'll come to the education committee.
Thank you so much for explaining that.
Okay.
So why did you decide to run?
Why did I decide to run? So the first thing I'll explain is the governor is basically like the president of the state. So the governor is the president of Minnesota, and the lieutenant governor is then the vice president of Minnesota. And I decided to run because since I have been kind of what we'd call a behind-the-scenes gal, and then being an elected official, I have noticed that we tend to approach problems like it's mostly fine, but we can tinker with it and make it better. And that's not where we're at. We are at a place where 26-year-olds who age out of their parents' health insurance die 6 months later because they ration their insulin because they can't afford it. And 26-year-olds in Minnesota shouldn't be dying because they can't afford a medication that's been on the market since 1920. We have the second highest racial disparities in the nation. We don't have clean water. We don't have affordable housing. We need to fully fund our schools. Like, this is like a big, we need big leaders in this moment. And when I say big, I don't mean tall, because neither Erin Murphy or myself are tall. But we need leaders who are willing to fight for Minnesotans in a very real way and like tell the truth about what's happening and tell the truth about what Minnesotans are going through and stand up to these corporate interests that have been at the Capitol and stand up to people who want to hold on to the status quo, because it's a very small amount of people, but they have a lot of interest in holding on to that status quo, and Minnesotans aren't interested in that anymore. So I joined Erin Murphy because she has been that kind of leader, I have been that kind of leader, and together we are unstoppable.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide.
Keep me from getting to you, baby.
right, mi gente, here we are with our candidate who's running for Lieutenant Governor, Erin May Quaid. Thank you so much again for being with us. What are your three goals for a new Minnesota?
Yes. I think the first one is that we are all connected together and that people's stories aren't drowned out by narratives that aren't true. I think as a woman of color in the suburbs, as an intersectional woman, as a millennial, as a young person, as a Minnesotan whose family has been here for a long time, as someone who worked in retail work for a really long time, the narratives that we have about certain types of people are just really untrue, and we need to start connecting them together, because I hear things around the state of Minnesota that are the same, and it doesn't matter where we are. People live in food deserts in urban Minnesota, in suburban Minnesota, and in rural Minnesota. People feel bullied by corporations or Big Ag. People feel like no one's listening to them and being left behind. We need to start connecting our stories. That's the first one. Two, I want to make sure that we are investing in our youngest Minnesotans. We lose that opportunity every year that goes by that they get older, whether it's education or like clean land, air and water, yeah, or stuff to do, stuff to get them interested in. We need to start investing in young minds and young people. And I really want to make sure that the things that we have done to address issues in our state, that information gets to people who are most effective. And that is like the most important piece, that we build systems around those most affected by those systems, because we build them without them, meaning they're never for them. And so we have to start centering people in our politics, particularly those most affected. And I want to make sure that we add that layer to our democracy right now.
Thank you so much.
So with that, we mix everybody's playlist here on Latina Theory. So it's important that we don't skip that stuff with you. We want to hear, what's your Eye of the Tiger song in this election, in this whole process of here we go? As, you know, Boricuas like to say, seguimos pa'lante, los chicanos, si se puede. What's that song of, I got this?
Like, yeah, your chingona anthem?
Your chingona, your huepa.
It's Electric Lady by Janelle Monáe.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, my God. We've actually played that.
Yes.
On Latina Theory, but since it's so amazing,
we're going to play it again.
We're going to play it again. So with that, actually, why don't you introduce the next song?
The next song is Electric Lady by Janelle Monáe.
Here on Latina Theory.
Showing love while other boys be catching feelings. Once you see her face, her eyes you'll remember, and she'll have you falling harder than a Sunday in September. Whether in Savannah, Kansas, or in Atlanta, she'll walk in any room, have you raising up your antennas. She can fly you straight to the moon or to the ghettos, wearing teeny shoes or in flats or in stilettos. Illuminating all that she touches, I'm the sparrow. A modern day Joan of Arc, call me a pharaoh. Classy, sassy, put you in a razzle-dazzy. Her magnetic energy will have you coming home like Lassie, singing, ooh, shock it, break it, baby. Electro, sophista, funky, lady. We the kind of girls who ain't afraid to get down. Electric ladies gonna scream out loud. Electric lady.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
Mi gente, aquí estamos at Irene Fernando's Hype event. We're so excited to be here. And now we have another badass, chingona, woman of color who's running for office, who's going to change the face of leadership in our state. We are here with the one and only Angela Connolly, who's running for Hennepin County Commissioner, District 4.
Thank you, thank you, thank Woo! You. Thank you. Yes, yes.
We're so excited to have you here with us today.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. So we want our listeners to get to know you a little bit, Angela. So can you let us know a little bit about yourself? Where'd you grow up? Anything that you think is important to highlight?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I'm born and raised in South Minneapolis. I spent the most of my life in South Minneapolis. You know, right in the heart of where I'm running now, which I think is important. Also, a mother of four, so, like, you know, I'm a mama. My kids range anywhere are from 19 to age 4, so that's interesting. I find that fun. My younger two are a lot more fun than the older two, I like to say. But, you know, I went to school. I got my undergraduate degree in social work, my master's degree in public administration, and all of that was really for the purpose years ago to make change, right?
Look at this.
Years ago,
it out.
That I wanted to create change. And so in order to do that, I had to focus on ways, where could I put myself that would put me in positions of power?
Mm-hmm.
And it was about going back to school and putting myself in debt, $90,000, to be able to do that.
Mm.
But that's a story that a lot of people share, right? A lot of people share this story about being a single mother, going back to school, trying to do something with your life, but understanding that there's systems that are broken, and using the experience that I have to mend those systems.
Absolutely.
And doing it from within for the last 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a really big fan of Stranger Things and Lord of the Rings. You should know that about me as well.
Oh, we love it.
That's it.
Wonderful.
Game of Thrones.
It's like we have to wait so long for the new season to come.
I'm a self-proclaimed nerd about these things,
oh,
and I love
the
it.
Dragon Lady. I got a mixtape called The Dragon Lady.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
So, all right, here we go. Why did you, for Minnesota, positions and recognize that I'm a sister, because I got to do this. I got to do it.
I can't wait anymore. Right?
It's like, remember the two stamps and a twist?
Right.
No, forget twist, we're here.
We're here now, and now it's time to shake it up. So, you know, years ago, I was on assistance. I was on food assistance, cash assistance, child care assistance. I was a young mother with two little babies. And I was at Hennepin County applying to get help. I was fleeing a violent situation. I needed help with my housing. I needed safe housing. And so when you go through this experience, you realize that there's so many walls that you have to navigate and so many hallways.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be this full-time job to be poor, to be in need. And so experiencing that is what made me decide to work for Hennepin County. So the Hennepin County Commission is this really large level of government, second largest in the state. It's made up of seven elected officials who are elected to represent parts of Hennepin County. So me running for District 4, which is where I was applying for benefits years ago, which is where I grew up and spent all of my life, is meaningful to me now because we're in a position where there's no diversity on our board.
Right.
There's no representation at this level of government.
Of course.
And in the 4th District, we have the most diverse, the most dense area of diversity and cultural diversity in the 4th District. So why not have representation?
Right. Absolutely.
So what I found is, you know, receiving assistance to actually processing assistance for other families, I kept noticing that the further you go, the higher you go in county leadership, it does not look like the people that we're serving, or even the direct line workers. It just doesn't look like that. So I spent 20 years, I dedicated my whole career to creating systems change from within. Somebody's got to be working on the inside.
Definitely,
because we've got really good community groups and folks in the neighborhood that are doing work against the system, but we got to get in there and infiltrate it and change it to make it work better for us. So 20 years later,
boom,
I'm decided I got to run.
Right,
you know, it's difficult as a woman of color to promote within local government, upper-level leadership, again, does not look like us. When I found myself hitting a wall trying to advance after getting these degrees to advance, it was like, okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run. Because you can't keep making decisions for... And the biggest thing has always been, what are we going to do about racial disparities in our communities? Well, you can't make solutions on your own without input from those of us who are impacted. And so having me on the board is that voice of our communities that we're bringing to leadership that we've never, ever had before.
You know, it's, we think about why, right? So many people, why? We're done thinking about why. We know the answers.
That's so true. Mm-hmm.
We're informing you of those answers.
Absolutely.
Because we are the people.
Yes.
And so I appreciate you sharing that story and what influenced you, because so many people don't go into the depth of how hard they work to get where they are. And we gotta let them know. It's not it's not that everybody went to Beyonce and Jay-Z and they got a big ego. You know, it's not about it's because we're survivors. That ego is equal to people with privilege.
And there's strength in that.
No, there is. And there needs to be other little girls who, I want my little sister to listen to your story and be like, I can do this. And all our young women of color who are told that because of this or that, they shouldn't run, that they're not capable, that we're too brown, too black, whatever.
Yeah, I heard it for years.
We have to support it. As women of color, we're always on this, it's like we are here as a pedestal and a platform, but we got to draw more.
And it's not just about our votes. Like, everybody wants our votes.
Vote.
But when it's time for us to lead, it's wait, it's sit down, it's hold on, it's not your time yet. And we got to stop listening to that narrative because it's destructive. And there is power in us. And that's why we get told these things. But like you said about the kids, like my six-year-old walks around the house, you know, dressed in my little, in my jacket that's four sizes too big for her, and talks through a fake megaphone and says, vote Conley, everybody, vote Conley. And, you know, we're going into the primary on August 14th with my mother and me and my two oldest children. So that's three generations, and they're going to see me on the ballot. That's huge.
That's huge.
Representation.
Yes.
And so I want somebody that's thinking about county leadership to look at my race and see, you know what, this is unapologetic, and it's real, and the issues are there.
Is.
And I want to do this, too.
There you go.
So, we can continue making these firsts, but they won't be the last.
Angela, thank you for being on Latina Theory.
Thank you. We're so excited about this.
I got one more question.
Yes.
Okay. This is
our favorite question. Just kidding. We love all the questions, but this one's so fun.
We've been asking, everyone who's been on Latina Theory, or we majority of people who've been on our podcast. Mm-hmm. What's that show? What's the song mm-hmm. that really gets you hyped, like your Eye of the Tiger song?
Family Feud. Jay-Z and Beyonce, and I'm not just saying that because they were just here, but truly, it is just this. It just pumps me up in the car every time. Every time I'm on my way to a meet and greet or an event or knocking doors between blocks, it's always blasting in the truck.
Mm-hmm. Of course, and it is.
Always.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
Special shout out to Formation too, because that's.
Yes. Oh,
usually bumping
that
as well.
In there too.
Yeah, exactly.
And what a great note. To wrap up with. That's right.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Family Feud, you heard it here, or you're hearing it right now. Again, probably we played it. Family Feud on Latina Theory.
My nigga got on. My nigga got all white, no socks. My nigga got that cocaine on today. That's how you feel. Turn my vocal up. That's how you feel, Emery. Turn my vocal up some more. Turn my vocal up, guru. Turn the music up too. Super Bowl goals. My wife in the crib feeding the kids liquid gold. We in a whole different mode. The kid that used to pitch bricks can't be pigeonholed. I cooked up more chicken when the kitchen closed. Oh, we gon' reach a Philly first. I told my wife to spill you shit really worth. Alhamdulillah, I run through them all. Hoey's home, all these phonies come to a halt. All this old talk left me confused. You'd rather be old rich me or new you. And old niggas, y'all stop acting brand new. Like Tupac ain't have a nose ring too. Nobody wins when the family feuds. But my stash can't fit in the Steve Harvey suit. I'm clear why I'm here, how about you? Ain't no such thing as an ugly billionaire. I'm cute, pretty much. If anybody getting handsome checks, it should be us. Fuck rap, crack cocaine, nah we did that. Black owned things, 100% black owned champagne. And we merrily eating off these streams. Y'all still drinking Perrier Juvet. But we ain't get through to you yet, What's better than one billionaire, two? Especially if they from the same hue as you. Y'all stop me when I stop telling the truth. I would say I'm the realest nigga rapping, but that ain't even a statement. That's like saying I'm the tallest midget. Wait, that ain't politically correct. Forget it. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Can I get an amen from the congregation?
Amen.
Yeah, I'll fuck up a good thing if you let me. Let me alone, Becky. A man who don't take care of his family can't be rich. I watch Godfather, I miss that whole shit. My consciousness was Michael's common sense. I missed the karma that came as a consequence. Niggas busting off through the curtains because she hurting. Kate losing the babies because their future's uncertain. Nobody wins when the family feuds. We all screwed because we never had the tools. I'm trying to fix you. I'm trying to get these niggas with no stripes to be official. Y'all think small, I think biggie. Your whole past is in danger to Mississippi. Out shopping in the mirror taking selfies. How was him or Bill Cosby supposed to help me? Old niggas never accepted me. New niggas is the reason I stopped drinking Dos Equis. We all lose when the family feuds. What's better than one billionaire? Two? I'll be damned if I drink some Belvedere while Puff got Ciroc. Y'all need to stop.
Yeah.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
All right, mi gente, we are here with State Representative Ilhan Omar, who's running also to represent us in Congress in CD5 of Minnesota. Thank you so much for being here on Latina Theory.
Thank you all for having me.
Yes, we're super excited that you're here. So Ilhan is one of the many incredible women of color who are at Irene Fernando's Hype Crew event. We're so happy that you're joining us. And so right off the bat, Ilhan, we want to hear a little about you. Who is Ilhan? I know our listeners are curious and they want to get to know you.
Ah, that's wonderful. Who's Ilhan? Well, I'm a mom of three wonderful children. Many people are often surprised when they find out that I have a high schooler who is going into 10th grade. Her name is Isra. She's also a dope organizer. My son is Adnan, knows all things about basketball. So if you ever want to like get in a deep discussion about that, find Adnan. And then, you know, my youngest is going into first grade. Her name's Ilwad. And she's a princess. And very opinionated. I wonder who she gets that from. And I am my dad's daughter. I'm the youngest of seven. I'm a refugee. I'm a lover of, like, detective books, movies, shows. You know, I love music. I think, like, oftentimes people see me, like, in serious, like, situations because I love politics and, like, everything about me is political. But, like, I also am, like, a very chill person who loves to have fun.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Next question. Let our listeners know why Ilhan decided to run for not just anything, but Congress, girl. Like, this is just, it's such a beautiful, empowering to see how many women of color are in that position and taking that leadership role, because it's not easy. And yes, Ilhan is a mother, is a hard, determined worker. We need to recognize, though, it's the person's individual decision.
Yeah.
So what are those? What made you say, you know what, Minnesota, I gotta do this?
Here we go. So, I mean, I think just to be, like, blatantly honest, right, this administration literally is banning people who come from where I come from and who, right, like, practice the faith that I practice. And so, I mean, what a beautiful, like, poetic justice would it be, January come and, like, the president is giving his state of the state, State of the Union address, and I am sitting there, a refugee from Somalia who's Muslim, a hijabi that he just had banned in his travel ban. And I think that in this critical juncture in our country, in our politics, we are literally at one of the most dangerous crossroads in our democracy, in our nation's history. And we've seen what the politics of fear and scarcity could produce. It produces, you know, an administration that uses,
hate.
You know, hate, division and destruction, misinformation, miseducation of people to really guide us away from the fundamental ideals of this nation. And I think it is important for us to send, you know, an educator, an organizer, someone who really loves everything this country could be, and everything this country exports itself about, and someone who really will reinstill the hope and make sure that we are not just focused on fighting this administration, but we are focused on really ushering prosperity for everyone and reminding people what the American promise really is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about us caring for one another. It's supposed to be, you know, making sure that we have economic justice for working people. It's supposed to be that we have people accessing healthcare. It's supposed to be about people having right to housing. It's supposed to really be about us protecting our environment and what is to come for the next generation. And as we say, right, besides being, you know, if you are indigenous or came on a slave ship, everybody else in this country is really an immigrant. Mm-hmm. And so reminding people that when we say we are a nation of immigrants, we have to live up to that. We have to make sure that we are not allowing people to misguide us and tell us that it is illegal to seek asylum, that it is illegal to seek new opportunities, and that everybody has a right to be treated with humanity.
Last question.
Okay. We're good. Once again, Ilhan Omar, thank you for being here on Latina Theory.
Thank you for supporting
Irene today. Great event. But before we let you go, you're going to tell us, what is your hype song? What is that Eye of the Tiger, that Eye of the Prize
anthem
for this campaign?
Yeah. I mean, I've got few. So Eye of the Tiger in itself really is one of my theme songs. I actually really, when I need like that inside bump, I listen to the theme song from the 2014 World Cup, which is Waving the Flag, which is sang by a really good friend of mine. And it's my son's favorite song. And so it is, it's kind of like my you know, like it's time to go. And just kind of like feeling, right, like that I'm floating. And right, like it's And so it's one of those songs.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
what is yours? What's yours?
Oh, what's mine?
Yeah.
Oh man, I have a whole bunch. You know, I got Formation.
All right.
I definitely sing. There's these salsa songs that you hear your aunts and your mom.
Oh my God, I got those.
You know, you think of those songs.
Yeah.
Like, how did my mother?
My call time is usually to a lot of those songs. Yeah.
How did the women in our villages, our familias, progress?
Right.
What, by having children and staying determined.
Right.
And you know. So I think about
Being rooted in their femininity and finding strength in that. Yeah.
Like Celia Cruz and
I always think about Selena.
And
she was my first love of music.
And I think about, you know, Lauryn Hill.
Oh yes.
I think about Lauryn Hill. There's a few Lauryn Hill songs.
What's your favorite? Let's see if we all like match.
You know, I love Zion.
Uh-huh.
And it's not really like the hit song, but it is. And I just love the if this is her singing to her first son.
Yeah, everything is everything is mine.
Everything is
mine. No, I actually really love Zion.
Yeah.
Freak me out. Carlos
is going to be unique about it. No. And then you got it first, so that's fine. Carlos Santana's playing guitar, but everything is everything. I mean, the whole Miss Education album
is like, incredible.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually one of the first albums I actually purchased myself.
Oh.
So,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. That's great.
She's going to introduce the song here on Latina Theory. Let them know what it is. Then your favorite song.
Oh, Waving the Flag. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Like a waving flag, so wave your flag, now wave your flag, now wave your flag. break the field down. Unify us, make us feel proud. In the streets, our heads are lifting. As we lose our inhibition, celebration, it surrounds us. Every nation, all around us.
Sing forever young, singing songs underneath the sun. Let's rejoice in the beautiful game. And together at the end of the day, we all sing.
When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. So wave your flag, now 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 wave your flag.
Podcast Sin Vergüenzas.
All right, mi gente, we are here with our incredible closing act, the mujer, who's the reason that these entitled, like, we had the opportunity to interview all these incredible women of color running for office, because they all showed up to support her at her High Crew event concert. The wonderful, the chingona, Irene Fernandez here with us. Yay!
What it is!
AKA Irene, La Filipina. Kelly in the house.
What's cracking? Hey.
Minnesota, though, in the house.
What's up? Still here.
Kelly Soda in the house.
Present, here. Present. Can I get a roll call?
Hey, what an awesome event. What a great
thank
time.
You. Thank you. Tonight. Appreciate it.
You know, it was super
thank
fun.
You.
Amazing support.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate just everybody who came through and showed love.
Yeah.
Special shout out to Jessica. Special shout out to Jessica Lyman Lopez, who brought her braca, her strength and fuerza, luchadoraness into the house. We sat down at Victor's Cafe.
Yep.
About two months ago. Saying, how can we get it right?
Yes.
And I think
we did a good job. Yeah.
I mean, can you give our listeners a walkthrough of what a magical night this was? Like, what happened tonight?
For sure.
Aside from the fact that we got all these great energy. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yes, I've been running for office for over 500 days, and every time I enter a room, even if I'm crushing it, I still don't quite feel at home. Because in the political scene, very few times are my identities of being a young person, being a woman, being a person of color. Very few times are these identities naturally reinforced. And so I wanted to make sure that we created a space for other people who see themselves as part of the movement, for the young people we're trying to inspire to be part of the movement, for the people of whom we have yet to super welcome into this space. We wanted to create a vibe that made people feel at home. And I think we did that.
I think we did. No, I know we did.
Hey. Yeah, it was incredible. There was great music. There was incredible corn on the cob. Oh, my God. How many folks came through? There was a ton of people here today.
I think it was probably like 170-ish or something like that came through. Maybe even more. I'm not sure, because it was like the vibe, obviously.
So, for sure.
So on the north side, we're at New Rules, which is a space that's trying to create community, great co-working opportunities. And so there's multiple rooms here. And so when people came through, they came and got their name tag, which was a Hype Crew backstage pass.
Yes, it was.
And when you got your backstage pass, you could go to four different stations to get engaged in different ways. Mm-hmm. One was just learning about voting. So we had little kids voting on their favorite superhero that happens to be a woman, you know, and... Yeah, yeah. You know, and then we had another station that had live art, and so we had this really dope piece that was created that says "Best Revenge is Your Paper ... ballots."
Hey.
And then we had an early voting portion, and then we also had roasted corn outside, and so it was really, really cool because we want people to feel engaged in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, politics can't be these events that we do on the side that aren't made for us. People need to be able to feel their presence and their heart in these types of things. So that's what we're out here to do.
Right on, right on. Ariana, we got our first question, official question.
Yes, I do. I have the first official question of the night here for Miss Irene,
the queen. Those who joined us earlier in support of Irene, Ilhan Omar, we had the girl Erin come through. Well,
yeah,
Team Erin was
represented.
Angela, man, there's such a beautiful, you know, beautiful circle of medals.
Also, showing up and supporting each other. It's been a great night. All right, Irene, so what we want our listeners to hear from you is just who's Irene? Who's that backstage Irene that they can get a little access to here on Latina Theory?
Backstage Irene.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So basically, I'm always in between killing it and crushing it. So if you could just string up a hammock in between those two, that's where I'm taking a nap. And I'm equal parts stubborn and patient, and so I'm very excited for the ways in which we can serve our communities differently through this role and then through many after. Yeah.
Why did you decide to run? Tell these, tell your county.
Yeah.
You know, why you decided to run and set that journey of, like you said, 500 days in this campaign.
Mm-hmm. While kindly explaining what a county commissioner is.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like most people don't understand
this
position
sure.
does and the power it actually
for
has.
Sure, for
power,
sure,
right?
For sure, yeah. So I grew up in L.A. County, and I moved out here to attend college. And so right away when I moved to Minnesota, I didn't really realize how different my culture could be. I'm Filipina. I didn't realize how different people ate. I didn't realize how different people like hung out. And so when I first moved here, I became really kind of enamored by the ways in which you could make a difference in a smaller community. So I know everybody thinks Minneapolis, St. Paul is this like the big city in Minnesota, but really it has a small town vibe. You run into people you see all the time, and impact here can be really distinct. And so from that background, after our current administration got elected, I was trying to figure out who's making decisions on my behalf. You know, I knew about city council and mayor and state. But then I found out about this county commission and these two regular words, county and commission, I did not know was one group of people. And so I Googled Hennepin County Commission 2017. Google that. You'll see a picture. And it's I did not see the stories or narratives that I hold in my heart present in that picture, nor present in the room when I attended my first meeting. And so it is quite easy to ignore who's absent from a room. And so I figured I'd make sure that we're present.
All right, and then anything else you want to elaborate that you think is important for folks who aren't really as informed about or, you know, what a county commissioner does?
Oh, yeah,
my
bad.
Are, like, top line items for folks to understand about this position's important.
So Hennepin County is 45 cities, and it's organized into 7 districts. And each district elects 1 county commissioner each. And so I'm running in District 2, which includes Plymouth, Golden Valley, Northside, Northeast, Bryn Mawr, North Loop, and St. Anthony Village. And so this group of 7 oversees a $2.4 billion budget on our behalf. And for the most part, we don't know who their names are. They're totally, we're totally an overlooked layer of government. Beyonce and Jay-Z's combined net worth is just 1/2 of what the county will spend in 2018 on child welfare and protection services. So that's all of social care, all of foster care, health care. So that's mental health, that's HCMC, that's North Point Health and Wellness Center. Roads and transportation, so that's light rail, that's bus rapid transit, all of corrections. That's 911 dispatch mm-hmm. to bails to sentencing reform to juvenile detention. So when we think of the ways in which communities of color and low-wage communities have disparities that are growing, the county has a direct opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. And somehow, for 166 years since the county's been formed, we've not once elected a person of color, not once elected an indigenous person. And so, how can we not only have our stories considered? We want our narratives embedded directly at that decision-making table. So that's why I'm here.
Thank you so much, Irene. Talk to us about this. The commish. The commish.
The commish. Yeah, what's up?
The beverage here. That you're bringing. It was a hit, y'all.
It was a hit.
I had a sip of somebody's because I'm not drinking. Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
But that flavor, mad flavor in your ear. And yeah,
good flavor, nice and clean and refreshing, and does it get the job done twice as fast?
It was a hit.
It was a hit at the party. I did just say that. Just edit that part.
We got you.
Or keep it. I don't know.
Actually, because that's
our yeah, whatever. It's your job. It's for sure your podcast.
Without shame. And
do what you got to do.
We're as women in the positions of whether you're running for politics, whether you are in the educational system, whether you're in the medical field, whether you're on grounds doing the community work with so many amazing diverse organizations that we do have here that we want to unify. Like, take note of unifying our communities of color. Whether it's Hennepin County, Ramsey County is recognizing, like, hey, it's all of us or none.
Yeah, so last year when we started organizing for the campaign, I wanted it to feel a certain way. I wanted people, when they met me, met any of my crew, came over to the crib, because that's where we're running the campaign out of, coming to an event, that there was this unifying theme. And what better thing than having a hype crew?
Boom.
Where I grew up, being a part of the hype crew is an honor. It is a point of recognition, and it's something you work at, because that means you're showing up for people. That means you have open and pure energy. That means you are, you know, in a very bold way, still very open to what may be. And when I think of hype crew and making sure that people feel like they're in the story of politics, I could not think of a better way to make sure that we centered our campaign on this. So we have hype crew buttons, we have a youth hype crew, we have this whole kind of entity, this identity that has been created off of hype crew. And so what better thing than a hype crew concert? Cool. So when we had breakfast, I was originally talking about like Woman of Color concert or something like that. And it was actually you and Jessica that were like, no, I like the hype crew thing. Like, I think you should just keep going with that.
Yeah.
And so thank you for that, because even though we had it on buttons and whatever, it didn't automatically come into my brain as the theme for tonight. But I think it should be a theme for how people lead, because too often the person you meet campaigning and the person you meet governing are two different.
Right.
So literally, I run my campaign out of my crib, come through 400 Penn Avenue North, and the Irene you see there might be in a snapback and a tank top, but it's the same Irene that you'll see with the blazer doing the speeches and whatnot.
It's like, you know, when you're in the crib, you're in the crib.
Exactly,
okay,
exactly.
When I gotta go to your crib, I gotta throw the blazer on, so here we go. But I'm gonna
twist
it up. That's
exactly.
But I appreciate you, because Irene, she's like, this is me.
It was so
good. I'm just not anybody else in the blazer. Your blazer, my blazer.
I also think, like, even this event, right, is so special tonight because it was centered on women of color, right? Mm-hmm. And you could feel it. That's why we were able to interview all these mujeres.
Right.
And just the fact that it's like the hype group concert. It's about coming in and being yourself, and it's about creating a space where people are allowed to bring their full selves into a space.
Exactly.
Especially in a toxic arena like politics, right?
Right.
As someone who works in it.
Yeah, because in politics, we're barely visible, but even when we are visible, we are still not seen.
Yep.
And if you don't see me, I can't feel seen. And so I wanted a space where right when you walked in, people felt seen, people felt at home, you know. And I just don't understand how we have made it to 2018 with some of the barriers that we still have persisting. So we look at voting, right? Voting's on August 14th. for the primary, November 6th for the general. Tell me why there were more people in U.S. Bank Stadium last night watching Beyonce and Jay-Z just in one night than who will vote in the primary.
Yeah.
Tell me why there were more people at the Twins Stadium watching the Twins play just last week, more people in that stadium on a random weekday night than will vote at the primary. And so that's an example for me where I don't understand how we as leaders can look at that data and be comfortable with where we have been.
Exactly.
Particularly when both of those stadiums were paid by wonderful taxpayer dollars. So from my perspective,
just,
you know,
truth,
we have our election system in Minnesota has already let go of the idea of having to vote in your precinct, right? For the first time in primary, we have early voting at Hennepin County Government Center for Hennepin County, and in all 87 counties, there's a different spot where you can vote for all those 45 days. So physical location is no longer, you know, a thing that we need to be kind of wed to. Secondly, we're not necessarily committed to one day. We have 45 days of early voting. So for example, for these wonderful places that our taxpayers contributed to, why don't we just have a station for all those 45 days open that you can vote there
exactly
the whole time?
With food trucks and good music, too.
You know, and so I don't know, I'm sure I'm going to get in trouble for saying any of this, but it's meant, oh, there's no shame in me getting in trouble, it's just more of a statement, but like, for me, whether or not that specific idea turns into anything, it should represent the set of ideas that we should be cultivating among our leaders. We should be demanding, we should be holding our leaders accountable to, because it's that type of creativity that will ensure that all of our voices are heard moving forward. And I say this all the time, you know, our systems are not broken. Not broken at all. They're working quite efficiently.
Can you let folks know about the primary and also general election? Because I think that can be confusing for folks who maybe haven't voted before.
For sure, for sure.
Thinking about voting in the primary. And this is great because this is why we interviewed all these incredible women of color candidates.
Yeah.
They all have primaries coming up here in Minnesota.
Yep. So the primary election, which is coming up on August 14th, here in Minnesota, what that means is it is how we determine who gets onto the November 6th general election ballot. And so for those who have voted in the November election, thank you. And there's an election before that every single year that helps determine who gets on that November ballot. So on August 14th, when you receive your ballot, on the right side, we'll have Democrats. And you'll start with federal races. So you have congressional races. Then it'll go to statewide races. So you'll have governor's race, attorney general. You'll have some reps and whatnot. And then on the back, you'll have nonpartisan races. So this year, you'll get to vote for county. So that's county commissioner, county sheriff, and county attorney, all incredibly important roles. And then after that, you'll have your city races, depending upon where you live. Now, why this is all important is, again, August primary is what helps determine what gets onto the ballot in November. The November election, how many people vote on that ballot determines how many delegates each area is allocated the following year. So you might be hearing words like delegates and caucus. They use these fancy words. All it means is get out there and vote.
Yes, it does.
Period. And then Come February, we'll do another session all about making sure that we flip who is present in these representative democracy spaces. So,
absolutely.
in that space, very few people at times get to elect.
That guy, the president.
Well, and that's where the electoral piece comes into play. Here's my thing, you know, we don't always have to change the rules as long as we change the people who get into the equation, and so we can out-organize that part pretty easily. So we'll get up in there, we'll make sure that people feel real, real comfortable, and then we'll make sure the rules include all of us.
We met, it was like, look, there's we know how to keep 100.
Y'all, Maria Issa doesn't campaign like this for anybody. I wasn't even shocked when she came back to me saying she was going to do it.
I haven't endorsed anybody but Irene. And that's, you know, endorsements are my own. And, you know, but I think Latina Theory.
Unapologetically,
we've endorsed, and that's the old, you know, that's where we come about.
Yes.
So,
all right. Let us know what your
this is it. Yeah. This is the.
This is
the last question of the night.
Oh, what?
You get to set the tone.
Yeah.
What is your hype song? That song?
What's your hype song?
Okay, it depends on what I'm trying to get hype for. I got a few. Like, what mood am I in?
For the campaign, what's your...
Okay, for a campaign from Dirty Computer, there's Django Jane and Screwed, obviously. That mix makes sense. From the most recent Beyonce featuring Jay-Z album, there's Boss and You Heard About Us, obviously. So that's really, really important. There's so many. Truly, I can say more.
We get to play one of those songs.
Okay, cool.
Which one do you heard it here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hype Crew, all in support of Irene, who's voting for Hennepin County Commissioner. Go support. Where can people find more information about your campaign?
Yes. Come to voteirene.com and then also follow me on social media at Irene K. Fernando.
Wonderful. And she's going to give you her...
Her top song
out of autumn songs just to play here. What do you want to play out of those songs?
We'll play Django Jane by Janelle Monáe.
Hey! You heard it here. Hey. Thank you for tuning in to The Latina Theory.
Yeah, yeah, this is my palace. Champagne in my chalice. I got it all covered like a wedding band. Wonderland, so my alias is Alice. And we gon' start a motherfucking pussy riot. Or we gon' have to put them on a pussy diet. Look at that, I guarantee I got them quiet. Look at that, I guarantee they all inspired. A-Town made it out there. Straight out Kansas City, yeah, we made it out there. Celebrated, graduated, made it pass fail. Sassy, classy, Kool-Aid with the kale. Mama was a G, she was cleaning hotels. Papa was a driver, I was working retail. Kept us in the back of the store, we ain't hitting no more. Moonlit nigga, lit nigga. Already got the Oscar for the Casa. Running down Grammys with the family. Probably give a Tony to the homies. Probably get an Emmy dedicated to the highly melanated. Arc Android orchestrated. Yeah, we highly melanated. Arc Android orchestrated. Yeah, Geminati still jamming. Box office numbers and they doing outstanding. Running out of space on the damn bandwagon. Remember when they used to say I look too mannish? Black girl magic, y'all can't stand it. Y'all can't ban it, made out like a bandit. They've been trying hard just to make us all vanish. I suggest they put a flag on a whole nother planet. Jane Bond, never Jane Doe. And I Django, never Sambo. Black and white, yeah, that's always been my camo. It's looking like y'all gonna need some more ammo. I cut them off, I cut them off, I cut them off like Van Gogh. Now, pan right for the angle. I got away with murder, no scandal. Cue the violins and violas. We gave you life, we gave you birth. We gave you God, we gave you earth. We film the future, don't make it worse. You want the world, well, what's it worth? Emoticons, Decepticons, and Autobots. Who twist the plot, who shot the sheriff, then fled to Paris in the darkest hour, spoke truth to power, made a fandroid out of your girlfriend. Let's get caught downtown in the whirlwind and paint the city pink, paint the city pink, and tuck the pearls in just in case the world in. And nigga down dog, nigga move back, take a seat, you are not involved, and hit the mute button, let the vagina have a monologue. Mansplaining, I fold them like origami. What's the way, baby? This a tsunami. For the culture, I kamikaze. I put my life on a lifeline. If she the GOAT, now would anybody doubt it? If she the GOAT, now would anybody doubt it? Huh. Do anybody got it? Do anybody got it? I say anybody got it.